This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
The scramble continues. ACT, SAT. Either way, it is a major criteria for the next level. Ed Bolin now in the spotlight. Boy, people are gearing up right now. Brings me back to my day when these exams, boy, there was so much put on this thing. And we welcome Ed Bolin. Ed is a former admissions officer at Yale University in Fordham and works as an educational consultant and also an author as well. First time to the LA News Radio airwaves. Ed Bolin, sir, good morning.
Pleasure to be here, Jay. Thanks for having me.
Very interesting story regarding the SAT and the ACT. I tell you, Ed, it brings me back to the old days. We didn't have a lot of choice back then. We sat down for that six-hour exam. No matter how you liked it or disliked it, it was a way of life if you wanted to kind of make that next stepping stone.
Yes, it really it is, in my view, unfortunately, a rite of passage for American high school students to be subjected to these standardized tests. And I think what's so interesting is, you know, over time we've seen, you know, the ACT and the SAT have both been around for a long time. The ACT since 1959, the SAT even longer, since the 20s. And what's happening is the tests are becoming more similar over time. And also what we're seeing is that certainly in New York State, where the SAT was king for a long time, Now there are so many more kids are taking the ACT, especially when the SAT announced its redesign in 2016. That really pushed a lot more people to the ACT.
You know, and the ACT, a lot of people have to go out of state at this point in time, correct? If you're in New York, you have to kind of leave the area to take it, correct?
Well, I think that so many families were excited about the idea of the SAT summer option that, of course, they snapped up those seats right away. And now it's, you know, there's as far as I understand, there's not a seat to be had in Long Island for the summer administration. So people are going out of state. But again, I hate to see this just adding to the anxiety and the obsessiveness of this testing. It's really unfortunate for families that you have to add a whole other layer of complexity onto an already stressful process.
You know, I guess it's word of mouth, but are there truly better results documentation-wise as far as ACT, thus the buzz in trying to get more with ACT rather than SAT yet?
No, you know, actually, I think the results of the two exams are highly correlated. They're pretty similar. And what I encourage families and students to do is, you know, basically take diagnostic tests for both the SAT and the ACT early on, see how you do, stick with that one and go with it. You know, we just spend far too much time and energy obsessing about these things when actually, in the grand scheme of things, your grades and course selection are considerably more important than the standardized testing.
Well, and I tell you, I remember in my day we used to have the PSAT. That was a good prep for us.
Yes, and that's still around, but again, it's just a whole other layer of testing. And again, they all correlate pretty highly together. There are a lot of predictable trends, and sadly, one of the most predictable trends is that this is the standardized testing like this is almost as good an indicator of income as it is of what your college GPA is going to be. And that's just the result of course, you know, I think so many people are using test prep services, some of which are several hundred dollars an hour, and it really makes the process unfair for lower-income students.
No question. Talking with Ed Bolin, he knows it all. He is a former admissions officer at Yale University, and Fordham works for a fine organization. We'll talk about that in a few minutes, prep for prep. But, Ed, what about colleges across the land here? Do they put any more onus on one over the other? The ACT, more popular it seems these days. And the SAT, are there some colleges who prefer SAT, or is it pretty much, you know what, just give us the scores wherever you take it?
I think in this day and age, you know, there was a historical bias for the SAT, but I think in this day and age, almost every school I know recognizes them equally.
Okay.
And again, the results correlate very highly. When you have kids taking both, you see that they're in pretty much the same percentile, you know, in a statistically significant way.
And again, I go back to my day, you know, you had the math and you had the English. 800 apiece, 16 gets you a heck of a score. These days, it's broken up into a trifecta, no?
Yes, well, the ACT, of course, has the science section, which the SAT doesn't have. And also, they both have, you know, the writing optional section, which in our day they didn't have. So the, you know, the writing test as well has been introduced. So, you know, again, I think that, you know, then a lot of kids will take SAT subject tests in the sciences because it's not offered on the SAT.
And I guess the ACT, you know, has become popular. Is it maybe better scores are attributed to ACT, thus the popularity over the last couple of years? We talked about buzz before and everything else. But is there documentation that scores have become a little bit higher regarding ACT?
You know, colleges are very savvy about these tests. Taking trends, and I think that they're on top of them. And you know, whatever slight differences they are, I think they're monitoring those trends and see the trends. And so, if everybody's going up in one test or the other, it's calibrated and considered. So there's no hiding. You know, I think schools are pretty savvy about figuring out. At the end of the day, you're kind of in a percentile, which I find unfortunate, you know, in a rigid percentile about how you did relative to everybody else. So I think both instruments are pretty much, you know, like I said, really similar kind of results in the grand scheme of things.
And what about the score itself? I mean, we know it's criteria number one for getting into most schools, but...
No, Jay. I would say most places, almost every place will tell you that grades and course selection are more important.
They are, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say also, what about character of a student? The overall curriculum that he has taken over the years in his high school days and whatnot, or hers. But do they look at background and really everything else? Participation in activities, clubs. Does everything kind of get into the salad bowl here?
Jay, it really depends on the approach of the institution. There are some places that look at take a very holistic approach, look at the whole student, look at teacher recommendations very carefully and what that student's character is like. There are other places that have a very, very formulaic look at SAT, ACT, GPA, and spit out a decision, you know, by and large. But no, I think the more selective and thoughtful colleges really do take a more holistic approach and try and find the, you know, basically the essence of the kid and what they're going to contribute to the university environment. And frankly, a lot of, you know, less well-funded institutions have to resort to this kind of formulaic approach, which I think is really short-sighted.
That's an excellent point. You mentioned a key thing here, and that is contributions to the environment. Wherever the school is located, you know, listen, again, a lot has to be determined, character and everything else, and if a fit is in store, right, for that particular individual.
Yes. And I'll tell you, the other thing you have to take into context is the school the student is applying from. You know, what are the options? What opportunities are available? And I have to say, sadly, New York State, which is the most racially segregated school system in the country. Sadly, we see this playing out in standardized testing like the SAT and the ACT, as you see lower scores in less well-funded and racially segregated schools, which is really something our voters and our legislators need to be aware of and address immediately. It's a national crisis, really.
That's an excellent point. And, you know, what's being done about that, Ed?
Well, actually, New York State is making baby steps in trying to address school integration. Because, you know, results show that when you integrate schools, you actually have better results for lower-income students in those schools. So there are baby steps being taken, but it's chronically unfair to have such segregated schools, and we see it reflected in college results. We see it reflected in standardized test results.
Talking with Ed Bolin now, you know, a lot has been made regarding free college tuition. Some of the community schools in and around the area, New York in particular here, Ed, how has that changed the landscape? You know, obviously you get into a community college out here on Long Island, Suffolk County Community College, maybe better preparation as kids get 2 years in toll before they may move on. I mean, how is that as far as preparation in your mind, rather than all out SAT, ACT, here you go, off to your university?
you know, community colleges can be an excellent stepping stone for a four-year degree. And number one, you can save a lot of money in community colleges since credits are so much cheaper. You can kind of ease your way into a competitive college environment. They really do provide an excellent, excellent entree into four-year education. The other thing I wanted to mention, too, is, Jay, this is really important. There are about 1,000 four-year competitive colleges that don't require standardized testing. Places like Bowdoin and Mount Holyoke, some of the most competitive institutions in the country that are completely test optional. And families should consider that. When you consider the time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears that it takes to apply to colleges, that's an option people should know about.
Yeah, it's interesting because let's face it, not everybody takes tests well. You know, you're talking to somebody who really didn't. You know, I mean, sometimes the pressure, for whatever reason, sometimes big tests just don't bode well for many.
No, that's true, and I count myself among them. I think I know a lot of extremely accomplished and intelligent people who do not fill in the right bubbles at the right time. And frankly, I think it's, you know, we put too much weight on it, and it's really not fair. And, you know, the biggest enemy in all this, I think, is the anxiety and obsessiveness that, you know, you see how anxiety-ridden our kids are about this process. You know, it should be about love of learning. It should be about, you know, what I want to do with my 4 years in college, not about, you know, am I going to go from a 620 to a 640. You know,
that's
where you're spending your whole summer and your every waking hour preparing for these tests.
And that was always my beef. I always thought it was a pressure cooker, really did not wage a good barometer as far as the overall person involved here.
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's what smart schools are doing, are looking at the whole person.
That's a good thing. Now tell me about Prep for Prep.
So Prep for Prep is really an extraordinary program. What we do in New York City, and also increasingly more so in Eastern Queens and some areas of Long Island, is we identify gifted students of color who we think can compete at the most selective private schools in New York and in boarding schools in New England. And what we do is there's a very selective admissions process. You can learn about it on our website, www.prepforprep.org. where we select the students, and then there's an academic component before you go to private school, where we prepare our students to compete in all subjects and in all areas, and prepare them for success at these schools. And you know, we've been around about 40 years, and we've had just extraordinary results in that, you know, Harvard, Yale, Princeton, the University of Pennsylvania and Columbia are leading schools that our students attend. We have over 250 lawyers, 100 doctors, 100 PhDs in really extraordinary, who've earned degrees from extraordinary schools and are changing the face of leadership in this country.
That's fantastic stuff. So if one really wants to kind of get in with everything here, prepforprep.org, just go to the site and check it all out, and plenty of details all regarding the next level and how you can attain greatness, pretty much. Ed, a pleasure to have you. Good stuff.